Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 270 of The Next Step. Hey, this is a podcast about life and love, about spirituality. Well, it's about looking at life, the very fabric of our being, through the most ancient of all Christian lenses, the Armenian Orthodox lens. Yeah, that's right, the first Christian lens. But we polish it up for today because, well, we're not living in those first times. We call that look an Armadox look. So if you're ready to take that step with us, to take that look with us, hey, kick back, relax, unless you're driving right now, and get ready to take the next step. Oh, we are at Apostle West today, broadcasting from our Glendale studios. I'm glad to have you with us today, and I want to thank all of you. Now, last week, I told you I was in an incredible funk, and I'm going to start measuring my words, because didn't I tell you last time? I says, no, I'm okay, everything is fine, but thank you. Got so many people who were concerned. I got some wonderful calls, some wonderful emails, so I really, really appreciate it. And guess what? We even got a Hug Your Priest Week proposal on the board. Yes, our dear friend Janine, she called me up. Well, you guys need some help too. Let's hug the priest. So I will take all the hugs that you have to offer. So send your hugs. Just care of this broadcast any way you want to. And if you want to give us a call, do that too. We are at area code 626 in the United States, 275, amen. Or of course, if you're inclined to say it in an Armenian manner, amen. And I always forget what that translates to. Let's see. I guess it's 2636, okay? So 626-275-2636 in the United States. And it's a kind of a cool number. You get to leave a message over there, and you know, we'll be happy to pull it out and put it on our podcast. But I do want to thank you, and thank you, Janine, for that suggestion about Hug a Priest Week or Hug a Priest Day. Priests, these people are nonstop. You know, I got to tell you, my head was spinning that day. Do you remember it was last Thursday, and I shared with you what I went through I hate to even talk about it, but with the number of funerals and being in this youth ministry over here and doing this unique kind of ministry, I don't really have a chance to interact and do those funerals. But in this case, these were all people that somehow were connected with us and our ministry, and I had to be at them, at these funerals, and officiate at some of them, be a part of them. And then on top of that, we had some personal issues going on, and then, well, the piece de resistance was at night. I had a chance to speak at the diocese about my favorite of all topics. My favorite of all topics, okay? It's about, yep, you guessed it, the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide, but with the Father Vazquez twist. Right? We twisted it for today. We said, hey, if we're going to be, you know how I started, actually? I used the Einsteinian quote, that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Now, you try to translate this in Armenian. Okay, try to translate it. Gjutyun. himarutyun, khentutyun, insanity, okay, is doing the same thing. And so I get to this event Thursday night. This is after all of that, those string of funerals, the personal things that we're going through, and really on a very little, low-budget sleep, okay? And I get to that event at the diocese. And I've prepared this speech in Armenian. And I look around and they say, well, there's a lot of people here who don't speak Armenian. Now, you got to remember that why I prepare it in Armenian, because we're sitting in the middle of Southern California in Burbank, right off of Glendale. And this is like, you know, there's pockets here in Glendale. Seriously, there are pockets in neighborhoods where you don't need English to survive. And this is basically Armenian ghetto. It's you basically can live within the community using your skills as an Armenian with language and everything. And I personally don't know how people get by, because so many of them are connected to government programs. But I guess it's for convenience and for survival. They've made a way of life over here. So I'm prepared to speak to this group in Burbank, in Southern California, about the issue of changing. Okay, we have basically 2 years before the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide, and it's about changing, not doing the same things, but going beyond expectation. And those of you who have been listening to The Next Step know where I lead with this. You know, we're talking about Darfur, we talk about the incidences of genocide in Rwanda, and I brought, you know, personal reflections from my trip. So I've got this speech ready, I'm ready to go in Armenian, and I get to the event and I find out that, hey, there's a lot of people who just don't speak Armenian. Okay, no problem. I'm born in America. It should be a no-brainer, right? I should be able to pull this off in English. Guess what? I think this is the damage of Glendale to me. Been in this area now for 15 years, 6 years over in Pasadena, and I guess 10 years here in Glendale. So 16 years I've been here down in Southern California. I'm having trouble thinking in English. In fact, let me just be blunt about it. I think in Armenian. It's really weird. I mean, you don't think about the cognitive process, right? It should be automatic. You think and you're going on, but there I was, and I've got this speech, and I'm trying to talk, and I'm looking at the notes that I've prepared in Armenian, and I'm going right to an English translation from those notes, and I'm realizing, wow. You know, I'm thinking in Armenian, which is pretty cool. I'm not complaining. You know, it's pretty cool. But on the other end, there's something to be said about communication. How do you communicate ideas, especially ideas that are at a different level, that are at a unique level, perhaps even at, I don't want to get pretentious, but basically when you're talking about Armenian genocide and you are ready to hit them with something new. Because, hey, let's be blunt about it, okay? This is the 100th anniversary coming up of the Armenian Genocide. And the way we're going right now, there's only one thing that you can guarantee the people, right? That next year, it will be the 101st anniversary of the genocide. I mean, we got to get out of these numbers game and start talking about real issues of how to make the genocide real in our lives today. And hence was born a few years ago, actually 10 years ago, right out of this ministry, the idea of in his shoes, about walking in the shoes of others, about relating to the people that have gone through genocides. Like, step aside, we're the first genocide survivors. Okay, now there are other genocides, tragically, taking place. And you know what? We don't have the soundtrack from that event. It's not up on the internet yet. But let me make a note over here. And Susie's looking over at me. She says that she'll try to get it out by tomorrow. Okay, we do have the actual file. So it's a question of just kind of brushing it up and making sure we could get rid of some of the background noise and get it out to you. I do really encourage you to listen to it, because it is a new way of thinking. It is a new way of approaching something that is really horrendous, but at the same time, a part and fabric of our being as genocide survivors, a way of of addressing this. Now, it goes on the line of leveraging love. If you haven't seen that video, to me, that video explains not only where we're at here at Apostle, but it explains the birth of In His Shoes movement. It actually explains how we as Armenian Christians can answer the Armenian genocide. Now, if you haven't seen that, that's at inhisshoes.org. Just open it up. It's right at the top of the page. There's a couple people in the original picture. You'll see it there. It says leveraging love. Most of it is me, okay? But there's a couple handsome people right on the top of the page. You may want to check them out. They're the ones who introduce what's going on. So do check out that video, inhisshoes.org, and that really kind of explains where we're at. And we're looking for right now some ways and means to get this information out. So I'm trying to think, where did we start off? I was telling you that Thursday, I was there. And so I was at the diocese, and now all of a sudden I had to turn it all around and then give this speech in English. And we did. And it really kind of brought that very tiring day, that very difficult day, to a proper close and a proper end. I was at that event, and after I had finished, I would say this is now going on about 11 o'clock. And I was telling you, I don't know how some people do it. And in particular, I'm talking about our primate, Archbishop Hovnan Derderian. Because I was sitting at the table, and they told me that as soon as he arrives, we'll start the show, or basically my speeches. And here the guests, maybe about 200, 250 guests, are being served dinner. And we're waiting for the Archbishop to come, and I'm trying to make small talk while keeping my eyes open and in the back of my head trying to translate all of this information. What are the proper English words that I'm going to be using? So sitting there, and he arrives around 9 o'clock, and he had just come off of a plane from Armenia. And he's, you know, he's like motorized, ready to go too. And so, Janine, what you're telling me over there, what you're telling me about Hug a Priest Day, this is so essential, because this group of people, there are a group of people that are going from one event to the next event. They are smiling at one place, they're sad with another group of people, and they're trying to make this work because, hey, guess what? They have personal lives too, and they are going through roller coasters of their own. And so these priests, incredible people who have been able to kind of balance this roller coaster of life within them, so that there are smiles, there are sad faces, there are frowns sometimes, there's difficulties, there's tears that are being shed, both for happiness and both for sad occasions. And there they are, and they are in need of hugs. So I don't know how you're going to pull this off, but I think that we have enough time, and certainly this is we should really organize a Hug Your Priest week and kind of figure out what is the absolute worst week in the life of a priest. In other words, the ups and downs. My vote would be somewhere around Easter time, when you think about all of the things that they've gone through. But here's the problem. Right after Easter, they are on, at least me, I'm on an emotional high with the resurrection news. That is kind of wild. I'm like bouncing off of walls. So I don't know if it's Easter time, or maybe we should find some other time in the church calendar and just kind of devote that to Hug a Priest Week. So anyway, I like the suggestion. And it kind of gave us a little bit of time to there I go again. I'm thinking in Armenian. I can't think in the Shagel. To knead the dough, to bring in all the different ingredients and start mixing it up. And, well, we did. You know, I mean, here you go. You talk about genocide issues, but it is coming and it is evolving out of this tired priest at the end of the day. And really listen to it, okay? You as Next Step listeners, I know we put it on the internet as part of the Apostle broadcast that we do. It'll be on the internet probably tomorrow. It's called the 100th Anniversary Monument speech, that because we dedicated a monument that night. But we'll put it on the internet. But you, as Next Step listeners, kind of have a prelude to in what state of mind I was in when I did that. So I want you to listen to that, knowing the background, and I hope you have fun with it. Hey, I got some stuff to talk to you about today, like we do every week, but we start off like we do every week with a song of the week to put us in the mood. Well, how about Jermag Aghavni? What is an Aghavni? Did you know that it's the same word for dove and pigeon? I won't go there. Jermag Aghavni, it means the white dove. Khachadur Abedisyan. Enjoy. Jermag Aghavni, the white dove. Khachadur Avedisyan, of course. You hear that music, you know right away where it's from. And I like to call that from my Vahe Stambolyan's collection. That's right. Vahe donated a large collection of music to the Epostle Library. That's where we get a lot of our great tunes from. Anyway, I will have a link on our show notes to that song. Jermag Aghavni, like I said, the word Aghavni is very symbolic in the Armenian Church, of course, for the Holy Spirit, who, biblically, the Holy Spirit descends as a dove. It doesn't say a dove descended, it said as a dove. But we use that mythology to create the iconography, to create the symbolism of the dove coming down. Jermag Aghavni, of course, purity, the symbol of the dove coming down. Now, with that purity, you should also know, and this I'm throwing out for my little baby sister, Sona, who has this obsession with pigeons, kind of populating her life here and there. And this goes back to our childhood. One day I'll tell you about this story about how the house that we lived in and the pigeon areas. But anyway, pigeon, can't believe we're talking about this on a show on Armadoxy. Anyway, pigeon is the same word, avni. And so it's just a question of how they come out, what color they come out. And wow, now we're getting into all kinds of things, huh? Anyway, before we get too complicated, there will be a link on our show notes. I don't want to let today go by without addressing something that's been going on in the Armenian church, because, you know, and I guess it's important to say this because we do talk about Armadoxy, and inevitably people will try to link it with the Armenian church, as you should, because basically the practice of Armadoxy has been explored at least in the Armenian church. But right now, I would say for the last month, and I know a lot of our listeners have been sending me emails, have been sending me links to different websites, and certainly you've been reading it now, unfortunately, in the newspaper, about some of the turmoil that's going on within the Armenian church. And it involves hierarchy, it involves bishops, patriarchs, and Catholicoi. Yes, Catholicoi, not just one, because there's, it's interesting how all this works out. Now, that being said, without getting into the details, because I do not want to get into the details, not because I'm scared of it. Actually, there are other platforms and other means by which we address those things. And I've made it very clear from the beginning that epostle and what we talk about as Armadoxy is void of that structure. And it's very important in that sense, because here, this is what I want to share with you, okay, and how I want to address that. There's turmoil going on in the Armenian church. There's hierarchy. There are bishops and priests and people giving it back and forth. And certainly over the last month, there's an abundance of websites and emails and tweets and Facebook posts that are floating around about this priest, about this Catholicos, this bishop doing this, that, and the other. How do we stand on this? Where is Armadoxy? Okay, where is Armadoxy? Let's go back to last week. Do you remember what I shared with you toward the end of the show? It was very interesting for me because about a month ago when the Supreme Court came out and did their proclamation about same-sex marriage, came out with their statements on same-sex marriage, right away, here on Epostle, here on The Next Step, and at the diocesan level on my show called Armenian Christianity Today, I came straight out and said, this is our stance on it. And I don't fall back from that stance. And it's a very pure stance in scripturally as well as traditionally. And I linked it with the passage from the Gospel of St. John, wherein Jesus is walking with Peter. They're walking down the beach, and they see another disciple, namely St. John, walking in the back. Of course, not saint at that time, but they see John the disciple walking behind them. And this is in the Gospel of John. Check it out. It's the last story that comes to us from the evangelists. And Jesus and Peter walking down, Peter says, what will happen to that guy? What will happen to him? And Jesus said, if it is up to me that he wait until I come, what's it to you? Basically telling us, hey, get your act together. And this theme is present throughout Christ's message. The theme of get your act together before you worry about someone else. Certainly the story about removing the log out of your own eye. What does he say? Do not judge others. Who are you to judge others? First remove the log out of your own eye so that you can see more clearly the speck in your brother's eye. And so, too, last week I shared with you that I was really kind of amazed because, of course, we came out with this about a month ago about the statement, and it's there in our Next Step broadcast, as well as the Armenian Christianity Today video cast, dated July, July 2013. And here was Pope Francis returning from Brazil and being asked about gays. And here was Pope Francis talking in that same term. In other words, it's not about the rules and regulations that we are changing. It is about the policy of having compassion. And he came out with the same words, saying, "Who am I to judge?" Wow. I know. Don't go there. Okay, don't go there. No, I'm not saying that. Don't go there. Okay, I'm not saying he sat there and listened to the Next Step and then formed his policy. Stop it. But I'm saying what the Next Step is about is armodoxy. And think about it in these terms, okay? We're really looking at the message of Christ rather than the structure that built that message of Christ. Can we get away from the structure and really come down to what is important? Check this out. Sunday mornings you go to church and you recite the Nicene Creed. Havadam ki miyastvadzi hayrna menaga. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty. What are the 4 points that you say in that Nicene Creed? Well, you say, I believe. We believe. We believe in the Father. We believe in the Son. God of God, true God of true God, light of light, begotten and not made. We go through the description of who Jesus Christ is. We believe in the Father, we believe in the Son. We believe, third, in the Holy Spirit, who spoke to the apostles, who's living in the Gospels. We believe in the Holy Spirit. So we have identified the Holy Trinity. There's a fourth point that comes out. We believe in one universal and apostolic church. Very important, because there is a means by which that message got to us. Okay, we believe in the Holy Church. There is something missing from the Nicene Creed. I know. You know what? I'm saying this because I'm looking outside from my window here at the Apostle Studios, and I notice that there is not a cloud in sight, so I'm not going to get hit by a lightning bolt. If this show doesn't make it, know that somebody got me with the electricity. But no, there is not a lightning bolt to hit me, so I'm going to say this. Something is missing out of the Nicene Creed. Can you guess what? We talk about the attributes of God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We talk about the essence of the Holy Church coming together and proclaiming this message. But what is missing? Okay, think about it for a moment. Okay, we talk about Jesus Christ. Look at all the elements. What are all the attributes that we say? We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, begotten of God the Father, only begotten that is of the substance of the Father. Well, obviously, we're writing this in Nicaea, the year 325. Of course, we know that there's dissension. We know that there's all kinds of things. So let's not pretend that this just kind of came from heaven. Of course, this evolved out of the circumstances, but at the same time, what else is going on here, right? It's something that we are repeating as our creed. This is what we believe. So I'm asking you, listen to this and tell me what's missing out of this. Jesus Christ, God of God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and not made, of the same nature of the Father, by whom all things came into being in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Yeah, obviously. I mean, we're talking about the nature of Jesus being defined. Nicaea 325. But we are repeating this, and we have repeated this every single Sunday, every opportunity we have to worship, we repeat this. Okay, think about it for a moment, okay? Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, took body, became man, was born perfectly of the Holy Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so Jesus is now, I'm asking you, what is missing out of this? Okay, so now we're saying that Jesus, who was of the same substance of the Father, namely that he was eternal, he took human form, from Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's continue. By whom he took body, soul, and mind, and everything that is in man, truly and not in semblance. Okay, definitions, right? We're now defining who Jesus is. What's missing here? Let me continue. He suffered and was crucified and was buried and rose again on the third day and ascended into heaven with the same body and sat at the right hand of the Father. Okay, that's the history, right? Of course. We know it from Scripture. We know it from the evangelists. We know he crucified, he was buried. But what's missing out of this? Remember, we're saying this every single Sunday. We're saying, I believe, we believe. We believe in this. Okay, so what is missing? What do we believe? We believe that Jesus came from heaven, took human form, he went through the sufferings, he went through this life, and then he ended up at the right hand of the Father. Okay, but what's missing? He is to come. Okay, now we're going to talk about future. He is to come with the same body and with the glory of the Father to judge the living and the dead. Of his kingdom there is no end. Okay, now the next sentence is, we believe in the Holy Spirit. And of course, I said the four parts. We believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We believe in one Catholic or universal apostolic holy church. Okay, one baptism, remission of sins. Okay, what is missing? Well, obviously in Nicaea, there were other issues that were coming up about the person of Jesus. And that's what was defined there. What is missing from this creed is probably what Armodoxy is all about. What is the teaching of Jesus? See, we believe in who he is. We believe how he got here. We believe in what he did. We believe where he went. We believe in all of the things. But what is equally as important as believing in the person of Jesus is his message. And that message, what I've defined as Armodoxy, basically is the purity of the Armenian Orthodox tradition. What is that teaching of Christ? But the teaching of love, the teaching of compassion. That is missing from our creed. And it would be wise for us, if not audibly, then definitely within our hearts, within our souls, within our minds, for us to mention this as we utter the creed. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe also in the universal church, but I also believe in the teaching of Jesus Christ, namely that love is more powerful than hate. Namely, that resurrection overcomes death. Namely, that light overshadows all of the darkness in the world. Namely, that good is more powerful than evil. Wow. Can we say that? Well, Armodoxy's been saying that. And so, getting back to the reason I'm bringing this up, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on within the church. A few years ago, we saw within the Catholic Church, we still see it in the Catholic Church, with the different scandals that are taking place. Definitely you see it within Protestantism. Definitely you see it within the evangelical community. But here's the bottom line, and this is where I want to keep it really pure within the Armenian Church. Who am I to judge another? Who am I to look at the faults of others, because I am full of sin? And guess what? This basic teaching was given to us by Jesus Christ. So why don't I bring it down and say that what is equally important to me with the person of Christ is the teaching of Christ, the message of Christ. And once we can start saying this, we start seeing that really what is important is the community that we are building, a community of love. Tragically, when we look at church communities, we get so hung up on definitions. We get so hung up on who stands where that we forget the basic teaching that is at the core of all of this, of all of the hoopla, which I call. Of all of the bells and whistles, of all of the trappings. Hey, I'm the first one that admits it. I love the trappings of the Armenian Church. You walk into the Armenian Church, you hear the jingles on the censers, you see the guys in the beards, you see the hats, the ornaments, you see the beautiful iconography, you smell the incense, you feel the warmth of a tradition that begins with Christ and comes down to you. You feel that 2,000 years tradition. Hey, I'm not nixing that. That is important. That's what gets you in. But once you're in, you've got to say that there's something more here. And that more, of course, is the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is love. It's the sacredness of the tradition. It's the beautiful. I said the Sacred Heart, and right away Susie looked at me and says, yeah, okay, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about, in its purest form, the true Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is love. We got to get away from all of these traditions. You know, the other day we were someplace. We got to get away from the traditions that say these are labels. The other day we were someplace and we saw a rosary. And right away, where does your head go when you see a rosary? Oh, Catholics. Why is it Catholic? What's Catholic about the rosary? In fact, what's Catholic about Catholics? They're Christians. We have to bring it down to the basic understanding that Jesus Christ didn't come to set up systems. He came to set up a community where people reach out with love. And so when we hunt around, when I'm talking about In His Shoes, or I'm talking about Armodoxy, these are just labels we're throwing on the basic Christian message to get us to understand it in better terms. You say, well, what's wrong with the original terms? There's nothing wrong with the original terms. But we've messed it up. We've put all kinds of baggage on it, so we forget about it. We get consumed by the trappings. So we're standing on the bridge that unites us with God, the bridge which we call the Holy Church, Christ's body. And on there is so beautiful that we're standing on there, we forget that, hey, we're supposed to be walking across that bridge. Okay, drive across it, run across it, whatever you want to do. But that bridge has a purpose. It's to unite you with God. Okay, let's get united. And what is the only way to be united with God? Yeah, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is the manifestation of love. What is the only way to the Father but through love? That's how simple Armodoxy is. Guess what? That's how simple Armodoxy has always been. From the day that St. Thaddeus brought it into Armenia till today. That's what you're invited to listen to. That's why you're tuning into this, to this podcast. And I think as we are evolving as human beings and understanding our place within a global society, we're understanding that God is one, not many. The other day, I can't remember where it was. I believe it was on BeliefNet. I was on one of the websites, and there was an interesting little article, God's Other Children. It was talking about how truths can be learned from India. Well, no duh. I mean, should we say it any plainer? No duh. Of course. And you got to remember that the majority of the world population, get it? The majority is not Christian. What is the stats? I mean, I think there's 2 billion Christians in the planet. I think that's including the Roman Catholic Church, including all the sects of Protestantism, and of course a small little Orthodox in there too, right? Okay, think about it. 2 billion Christians. That's a lot of people. Here we are, Armenian Orthodox. What are we, 20? It's not that bad, but it might as well be. It's a drop in the bucket, okay? But what is my point in all this? 2 billion is only a fraction of the 8 billion that inhabit this planet. So can we say a quarter of the population has some kind of claim to tie to Christianity? That means three quarters of the population is not Christian. What are you saying? They're all condemned? What are you saying? There's no truth in them? And if you do say that, then what are you believing in? You're believing in a God who creates most of his creation, because you obviously believe that there is a creator. You're believing that this creator has created most of his life forms. Most of human creation has been created to perish in a place that you call hell. Well, obviously not. Obviously there's something more if you want to believe in a loving God. And that obviousness has been always obvious. It was apparent to Jesus Christ. There is only one way to the Father, and that's through me, he says. Well, what is the me? But love incarnate. There is only one way to the Father, and that means is through love. St. John the Evangelist says God is love. It's the equality. A is equal to B, B is equal to C. Therefore, A is equal to C. Jesus is love. God is love. Therefore, Jesus is God. Therefore, love is love. Therefore, God is Jesus. Therefore, there is only one path, and that is the path of love. And he said it in those terms to a group of people who would understand it, and he reveals it in different terms to people who are open to understanding. Yes, most of the world doesn't understand the concept of love, because that's where we're in right now. And so this is the challenge for us, is to become those shining examples of love in this world. To show that Christianity is not about tearing apart, but bringing together. It's not about a life to come as much as it is about a life that is here right now. Meant to be expressed, made to be lived. And it is for us right now. I'm going to take a break right now. Get myself some water. Here's Anush to tell you about a project that she's been involved. Up until a couple months ago, she was doing a little podcast, a portion of a podcast on Next Step. Now she has her own. It's called Inside the Pomegranate. And here she is to tell you about it.
Hi, this is Anush, and I'm excited about my new podcast, Inside the Pomegranate. I happen to love pomegranates, not only for the incredible fruit that they are and how pretty they are, but for the beautiful symbolism that they stand for. The pomegranate is one of the most recognizable symbols for our homeland of Armenia. In Armenian mythology, it was the symbol of fertility and good fortune, and a guardian against the evil eye. This beautiful fruit adorns our stone-carved khatkars and manuscripts. Go to any Armenian art event and you're sure to find pomegranates in the artwork. It's our symbol. For me, it's a symbol of my heritage, and it's also the symbol of imagination, creativity, and life. I mean, open up a pomegranate and look at the seeds that spill out. Each one is ripe with hope, possibility, and sweetness. It's a lot like life, right? My life is full and juicy like a pomegranate. And that's what this podcast will be about. Life. Ripe and juicy. So I hope you tune in weekly and take a peek inside the pomegranate. We'll talk about all kinds of things like life, family, applied Christianity, helping others, creating, imagining, wellness. It's all here, inside the pomegranate.
Inside the Pomegranate. It appears every Monday morning here on the West Coast, so you could figure it out according to your time. I guess it's Monday evening in some of the remote areas that we're in. Remote, you know, like Europe. Remote, like Australia. Oh, I am so North American-centric, aren't I? Anyway, it appears Monday mornings over here on epostle.net. Do check it out. Before I let Susie tell you about Epostle, I do want to tell you, I got a really wonderful call, I told you earlier, from Janine, one of our listeners, and she was talking about, of course, the Hug a Priest Week, but we also kicked around an idea about a conference. Are you up to it? Are you up to getting together with not only me, with Susie, with Anush, with Linda, and with, guess what? Maybe we could even coax them into coming. Yes, even Ken and Vahe. We can all get together and do this conference. Well, we're thinking about putting together something next summer, okay? So I have dropped the seed. Think about it. I'd love to hear from you next summer, 2014. Until then, here's Susie to tell you about Epostle.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I
wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
You know, with some of the stuff that's been going on about the Armenian Church, I actually kicked Apostle around to His Eminence, the Archbishop, about using this platform, about using the means that we have. Yes, we talk about Armadoxy, but maybe that's what the necessary step is in combating some of this hierarchical back and forth. I've got to tell you, for being so open to using the net, using the different structures that we have, in this last round that we saw within the hierarchy, I thought it was probably the worst means to be using. There are certain things that should be discussed between, in a gentlemanly fashion, and don't need to be aired out, okay, in a gentlemanly fashion. You and I have a grievance. Before you go out on the net, don't you think it'd be right for you to share it with me, or I with you, rather than just to post it and say, hey, look, everybody, I'm going to make a fool of the other person. And so a lot of stuff is being defined, and I'm very proud to say that the work that we're doing here on Epostle is really defining and shaping the course of a lot of the things that are happening. So I want to thank all of our listeners. Thank all of you who have been so supportive of this ministry. Keep your prayers going. Keep your support going. And do pass us around. You know, it's an easy email that you can shoot out to your friends. It's an easy share on Facebook. You do find us on Facebook. At epostle.net. On Facebook, yeah, can you believe that? Apostle on Facebook. Well, of course you can believe it. All kinds of stuff on Facebook that we're involved in. Of course, the St. Peter Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center. That's a cool one to check out, to be friends with. You get all kinds of stuff. Hey, you could be friends with me. You could be friends with Susie, with Linda and her compass, with Anush and her pomegranates. You could just be friends with everybody and live in Facebook. But it's a good thing that we're not living in Facebook. Otherwise, hey, we wouldn't be doing this. And with that silly logic, let's bring an end to today's show. I want to thank you for joining us, and do check us out on the net, whether it's on Facebook or at our websites, epostle.net and inhisshoes.org. You'll find all of this great stuff just waiting for you to download and waiting for you to watch, listen, read, whatever it takes. And for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Vahe, our webman, for all of the people who are involved in Epostle, whether it's Ken, Linda, Anush, this is Father Vazgen, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your podcast out.